Hi, my name's Christy Brooks.
Hi, my name's Laura Lockington. She's the Yank.
And she's the Limey. Each podcast, we bring you a taste of a new bottle of wine, a new book, and a flavor of life in Mallorca. And we have a heated chat about curious differences between the USA and the UK. Tune in and subscribe every week for free. You can find us on Spotify, you can find us on iTunes, and directly through Buzzsprout.
With Sergeant Pepper's lovely hearts clap, and we hope you will enjoy the show. Sergeant Pepper's lovely hearts clap, and sit back and let the evening go. Sergeant Pepper's lovely, Sergeant Pepper's lovely.
Dead heat, actually.
It really is. And we're sitting here with two fans on, a door's wide open, every window open to catch any breeze
For a breeze.
Yeah. Oh. But guess what? 50 years ago today, guess what happened?
Tell me what happened.
Oh, my God. So you know that really famous, iconic photograph of the Beatles on the zebra crossing?
Yes.
Crossing Abbey Road?
Of course.
That's what happened 50 years ago today, this very day.
They made that photograph.
Yeah, so 11:30 in the morning, they put in for the police to stop traffic, and the photographer got on a stepladder and took a series of photographs of them crossing the road. And the reason that one was used was that they are all in formation, that all their legs are going the same way.
Sink.
But you know what? When it came out, there was this sort of hidden, we were told, I think some rumour, fake news started, that there was a hidden message in it, because at the front is John Lennon in a white suit, which supposedly represented an angel. And behind him was Ringo in a dark suit and shoes, looking like an undertaker. Paul, next, with no shoes on, which is a sign of a dead person.
Oh my gosh.
You don't get buried with shoes on in England. And behind him is George Harrison in denim, looking like the gravedigger. And this rumour, I know, but this rumour...
Who figured this out?
I don't know. But this rumour was really, really strong. Now, remember, this is pre-Facebook, pre-social media, pre-anything
right.
Pop-related being on the news. I mean, it was like an underground rumour that really took hold. And I really believed it.
Before John Lennon's death, of course.
Yeah, but I mean, Paul McCartney is still alive, but he was the corpse in the picture. So I truly thought that Paul McCartney had died. And this was a subliminal message that McCartney had died.
Wow.
I know. It's crazy, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine how many people actually died believing that.
I think, well, so many people did believe it. It's very odd to me now that we did believe it, but honestly we did. We really believed it. And I think it reached a point, and I think I'm right here, that they had to do a sort of news bulletin interviewing Paul McCartney to prove that he wasn't dead.
No, I'm alive and well.
Yeah.
And he still is.
He still is.
50 Sir years Macca, ago today.
Sir Macca is going strong, but... Isn't that bonkers?
It is. I love that album.
I love that album too.
I think I could probably do word for word if we played it.
Do you know what? This is really interesting. I could sing every word to that album and Hunky Dory by David Bowie and quite a few other things as well, but can never remember, well, barely remember my own mobile phone number. But isn't it weird that lyrics yes. stay with you?
Yes.
You know?
Well... I think it's the song, you know. They teach the alphabet to kids in song. So you, for me, I remember every phone number I ever had before cell phones.
Oh, yeah, actually, I do.
Because yes. there's a dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, the dialing tones.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Also, there's this thing, isn't there, about, you know, those, I mean, God, what a terrible disease Alzheimer's is, but they say music... remains with you for yeah. much longer than anything else.
Yeah, they don't forget the songs.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful thing. If I ever get Alzheimer's, I'll still know the songs.
Yeah, I don't know if that's really sad or really happy, actually. I don't know. But also poetry. Did you have to learn poetry by heart at school? Did you learn speeches and poetry?
Yes.
Yeah. I can still quote some Shakespeare from school because we had to learn it. And I think it just stays in your head.
I can still quote Annabelle Lee.
What's
I never discover the no, maybe I can't. Not today, anyway.
Bear in mind, it's too hot.
Oh,
to quote
it's too hot.
But you know, I often think about our friend Grant Gillespie, who's an actor, lives in London. How he remembers his lines is beyond me. And I was once with him, and he had a very wordy part in a BBC series. And he had to play an MP in the House of Commons in Victorian days, and he had to give a speech. And the speech was obviously written in Victorian sort of grammatical and, all sort of speech pattern. And it was quite extraordinary how he learnt it. But how he learnt it, he had to walk it. So he would walk with a script in his hand, repeating a line and after line after line. But he was walking as he was doing it. And he said he couldn't do it sitting still.
Wow.
Extraordinary, right?
Because maybe there's because of the rhythm and the walk?
I think so, the pattern.
Yeah.
And it's like people who have a really bad stutter or stammer when they speak don't stutter or stammer when they sing.
It's true. It's true. There might be something to... Every language has a cadence to it.
Yeah.
And if you can hear the cadence, which Italian is a real... Da 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 da. It's very melodic.
How would you
melodic.
Describe New Yorkian? Because I heard some work then the other day, and I really got the giggles because it just kind of sounds like Klingon.
It's
to me,
yeah, kind of.
but it's quite nasal, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's quite whiny to my ear. It's quite, and it's very different from Spanish.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, Spanish has a lot more of a nicer cadence.
Yeah.
French is beautiful.
That's debatable. I
love it.
Do you?
Oh, I think it's such a beautiful.
Really?
Yeah, it's the soft tongue. I think.
I don't think it's that soft. French.
Italian
is much softer. French is quite harsh. Really. Huh. Qu'est-ce que tu veux? Qu'est-ce que vous voulez, hein? J'ai faim.
From the throat. But the words themselves and the vowels.
You think?
I don't know. I don't speak it, so.
Okay.
But when I'm listening to it, I like to listen to it, especially in song.
Yeah, but song is a different thing,
isn't
it?
That's true.
Interesting, though. Very, very interesting.
Another interesting thing is listening to Portuguese. Because
really?
Portuguese from Portugal is actually sounds more almost Mallorquin. It's kind of harder and harsher. Whereas the Brazilian Portuguese
is different.
It's very beautiful.
Yeah.
It's very soft and, I don't know.
Oh, how I wish for a babel fish to be put in my ear, like in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where you just have this little mechanical fish inserted in your ear. And everyone understands
it's
you.
It's probably
you
just around the corner, technology.
Oh, gosh, I'd love that so much.
I mean, really, probably very close.
That would be so great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, kind of cheating, but yeah.
But nice.
yeah.
So it's been so hot, but we found the perfect way to spend a really hot afternoon, didn't we? Under the trees on the beach.
Oh, yeah. God, that was the only way.
Oh, it was just wonderful, wasn't it?
So we went to Canyamel, which is about 7 kilometers from Arta, and there's this huge pine grove.
Yeah.
And it's just up off the beach. You can go down to the beach where there's 1,000 human beings,
mm-hmm.
or you can kind of sit under this pine grove. We laid out a blanket.
And we both fell asleep.
And we all fell asleep.
And then went for a swim. But the only thing I was a bit concerned about, the jellyfish flag was flying.
Yeah.
Right? Which freaks me out a bit, because... they're not nice.
There's been a lot of jellyfish these last years.
Why is that, do you think?
I think because their predators have been dying off.
Who eats jellyfish?
Turtles.
Okay.
I think turtles eat jellyfish.
Right.
Don't quote me on that. We need to ask Zoe. She would know.
She'd know, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're quite scary because when they sting you that can A, really hurt, can B, scar you for life, actually.
Yeah.
So they really, you need to avoid them.
Yeah, they burn. They really leave burn marks.
Yeah.
And on the north coast, I've heard there's the Portuguese man-o-wars.
They're really scary. I
haven't heard of anybody getting stunned by one, but...
Well, at least you'd see them, because they're big.
They're big, right.
You know, the little ones, you don't see so much, do you? Not so good, no. Anything else been going on? Have you been feeling a bit homesick about anything?
Not homesick, nostalgia.
Nostalgic.
Nostalgia is the word for it. We were just discussing the difference between homesickness and nostalgia. I watched a video of Costa Rica and Puerto Viejo. Somebody really did a really good job, and it's current. So it's
okay.
I haven't lived there for 9 years,
right?
And but what you know, just watching this video was about 2-3 minutes long, and they just really focused in on the wildlife and the food and the fruit and the people, and you got the whole vibe, the surfers, the
and
waves.
And you missed it.
And I did. I was like, oh, yeah, that's what
it's like. A little bit of a plague. Yeah.
And, you know, when you're so hot now, especially it's humid, and it made me miss ceviche.
Now, really?
You get fresh fish off the boats there, and they just make the most amazing ceviche.
Yeah.
And it's so fresh. It's so simple. It's fresh fish, lime juice, cilantro,
salt,
pepper, some
coriander,
red
as
pepper.
We would call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes they make it spicy, and it's it's the easiest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think food is a. I mean, I wrote a book called Cupboard Love, which is all about food and nostalgia. Really.
Right.
And I was feeling very nostalgic the other day. So nostalgic that even in this heat, I made sausage rolls. I must be completely
insane. You had to turn the oven on for that.
I know. What was wrong with me? I don't know what happened to me. I think what happened was it was so hot, it was impossible to go outside, really. And I pottered around inside enough. And I thought, no, do something. You know, like, do something.
Right.
And my doing something is, as my friend would say, cooking the fuck out of it. So I decided to make sausage rolls. They were so good.
Hey, you
so
know.
So good.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Maybe I should try to make ceviche.
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, you get some good fish here.
That's true. That's true. Couldn't hurt.
But it's too hot. It's just too hot.
I can hardly even eat anything. I can eat a little bit, and but I'm too hot. And
I'm deeply envious of your not being able to eat.
It's laziness more than hunger.
No matter how hot I am, I can always cook something, and I can always eat something.
Oh, I look at the oven and go, no way. Am I turning that thing on?
I must admit, I did think I was insane as I was doing it. But they were so good.
Right.
I ate like half a trayful. I really did. Mm. And I've got some left.
Okay.
But they're not going to last that long. So we've got to eat them if we want them. Can I tell you about a book that I've been
reading?
Please
do, yes.
So this is a very, very, very new book. I think it only came out last week, actually.
And this isn't on your Kindle. You have it in your hand. As you usually see her on her Kindle. She's got an actual physical book in her hand.
Unusual.
Brand new.
For me. It's called The Claim. It's written by David Briggs. It's published by Red Door Publishing. It's been longlisted for the Michael Gifkins Prize. It's an extraordinary book, really. It's one of those books that I feel we miss out on because there's so much hype now about psychological thrillers and bestsellers and things have got to be big and loud. This is a very quiet book. It's set in New Zealand. It's a middle-aged man who really is a bit of a loner. He has been left a log cabin by his father that he occasionally goes to, and he starts going there more and more often, and he meets a gold panhandler there who leaves him his claim when he dies, and he takes up panhandling for gold. And the descriptions of the river and the mountains and the scenery and the trees and the weather and his relationship with his dog is just so beautiful.
Aww.
But then there's a storm and he's caught unawares a little bit by the storm. So he has to make camp by the river and his dog doesn't come back.
Oh.
I know. So he goes looking for the dog. And amongst the thunder and the rain, he hears a bark and a yelp and a bark and a yelp. He manages to make his way towards the dog, thinking the dog has fallen down a gully or a hole or something. The dog has found a woman who's unconscious, and the dog has stayed by the woman, barking for help.
Hmm.
With a great deal of difficulty, this man manages to drag this woman to safety from the storm. And it's in a story then about this man and this woman.
This sounds like a lovely book.
It's a very slow, gentle, beautiful read. And the thing about the woman is she gives very little away, and she's found with nothing in her pockets or to tell who she is. She has nothing on her other than the clothes on her back. So she's fallen, she's knocked herself unconscious, her backpack has gone missing, and we know nothing about her.
Interesting.
It's really interesting.
It's a good premise.
It's a really good premise.
You already had me at the gold panning.
Yeah.
It's like treasure hunting.
Yes.
There's something so exciting about treasure hunting.
Yeah. And it's something very visceral about the way he writes about the river.
Is he from New Zealand?
I think he is. I don't know much about him. But yeah, I really urge you to seek this one out. It's really interesting. It says it's set during a very claustrophobic summer against a remote and beautiful backdrop, and it's about love and loss and companionship. And it says it will shimmer through your thoughts for years to come. And I think it will, because it's one of those books that nothing huge happens.
Right.
But things that are huge do happen.
All the little things are huge.
Yeah. So please, give it a whirl. David Briggs, it's called The Claim, written, published by Red Door Publishing. And very, very, very new. And I urge you to read it. I think you'll love it.
I'm in.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Listen, let's take a short break.
Sure.
And then we're going to open the wine. We're going to talk about some music and et cetera. Because I happen to know the artist. Her name is Princess Shaw. She's from New Orleans. And I met her 2 years ago at a film festival outside of Berlin called Films Without Borders, which is an amazing film festival.
You loved it, didn't you?
I've been 2 years in a row. I don't know that I'll make it back this year, hopefully. It's a really intimate film festival, and they do really powerful films. That are happy and sad and moving in general. And
relevant.
And absolutely relevant to whatever is going on in the year.
And tell us about Princess Shaw, because I have never heard of her. I don't know anything about her. And you just showed me a trailer.
From her documentary.
It's just amazing. Tell us about it.
So the documentary was actually featured on Netflix 2 years ago, and it's a worthwhile documentary. It's about YouTubers, and it was something sort of accidental happened. The guy who was doing the documentary was following around different YouTubers. The focus ended up being on her because as this was happening, a guy named Kutiman in Israel was working with her music, she's a songwriter and singer.
But she didn't know about it.
She didn't know.
Right, so I think that, for me, was the most extraordinary thing. So let me get this straight. She wrote a song and sang it
on
YouTube.
Right.
This YouTuber in Israel heard it and thought he would put music to it. So her song was unaccompanied. It was just her singing.
Exactly,
right?
A cappella. Yeah.
Okay. So then he put music to it.
He put music to it via sending That's Her Song to a bunch of other YouTubers.
Right.
And asking them to accompany her.
Wow.
So, and you can look it up on YouTube and you can see the video, like, of all these different people playing,
yeah.
you know, their version on whatever instrument they had around. And then he put it together as a composition.
Incredible.
And, yeah, it was really incredible. And
her reaction when she sees it.
Right, well, she saw it, and then all of a sudden it's a million views. And,
yeah.
I mean, that's a big mark on YouTube.
Big mark anyway, isn't it?
It brings you to tears. It's a very moving story. She's from New Orleans. She's not had the easiest life. She is a brilliant singer and songwriter, and she is a very positive person,
uh-huh.
always looking ahead, always thinking positive things. And it's really uplifting. It's nice.
And it's quite moving, isn't
yeah.
it? When I saw the trailer, I was like, oh wow,
yeah,
that's extraordinary. I mean, it seems an extraordinary way of being creative. It's like I can only translate it to writing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think, you know, I put a page of writing on YouTube and people around the world,
for example,
sort of collaborate on it, and suddenly we create this thing that... You know what I mean? It's like, I
yeah.
find it a very strange...
That actually might be a neat experience.
Well, it
might
be really interesting, wouldn't it? But it's a very strange way of creating, isn't it?
I mean, and it ended up that she flew out to Israel and recorded the song,
uh-huh.
and she's still making music, and that was, the one we just played was her, it's her first release. It was just released about
what
a month
was it
ago.
Called?
Lifted.
Lifted.
Yeah, and it's out on
yeah.
Spotify. She's Princess Shaw, And yeah, I'm really very happy for her.
Yeah.
And it's nice to, I keep in contact with her a bit. I was wanting to try to get her on a phone conversation tonight, but it's kind of too confusing.
The time difference is too much.
No, and I don't know how to do it, honestly. But yeah, I was lucky enough to meet her at the film festival. Her and I were the only two Americans there.
Right.
And everybody was speaking German.
Of course.
Films
yeah.
Without Borders happens all over the world.
Sure, yeah.
I just have been to the German one.
The Berlin one.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's...
do watch the trailer because it's really...
Listen to the music, watch the trailer, watch the documentary. It's a great
yeah.
documentary to watch. And... Miss Princess Shaw, if you're listening, I congratulate you and I cheers to you.
Yeah, congratulations.
So
yes.
Cheers.
So cheers. Yeah. What wine are we drinking, Christy?
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, it's very nice.
This is a wine. This is, of course, a Verdejo because it's summer and it's too hot to drink
mm-hmm.
anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an Albarino would be okay. I chose this wine because I usually shun it at the shop because I don't like the label.
Why don't you like the label? It seems perfectly harmless
it's,
to me.
It's boring, isn't
I really,
it?
I think it looks quite classy.
Okay.
I think it's quite elegant. I don't object to it.
Fair enough. I know.
But you're not keen
just,
on the label.
I don't know. I'm just not attracted to it.
But it's a nice
maybe
wine.
It's the font.
Yeah, it could be.
Ligaris. It's called Ligaris. And it's from Rueda. And
where's that?
That's the middle of Spain.
Okay.
And... And it's a wonderful, actually it's a really wonderful Verdejo. It's kind of got all the body and dryness and perkiness.
It's really nice.
Of a Verdejo that you want. This bodega has won an award in 2014 for this wine, a silver, international silver
And it's
award.
An easy drink, isn't it?
It's an easy drink, and it's got nice flavors. You
yeah.
noticed.
I did. This is very unusual for me, I've got to say, guys.
Yeah.
I did. I got
she
gooseberries.
She immediately said gooseberry.
Yeah.
I got apple.
Can I just say, it's not gooseberry.
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 I love it.
What else did you say? You said
I said green fruit. I said green gauges.
Green gauges. What the?
Yeah.
This is
well, a green gauge is like a. It's a bit like a plum, but it's green, and it never goes anything but green.
I think in the United States we call them green plums.
Yeah, that kind of sounds about right.
Green gauges.
Yeah.
All right.
Green gauges, gooseberries, kiwi fruit. Apple.
Kiwi.
So there's green
ooh,
fruits.
Kaffir lime. There's also like some green leafy flavor like
yeah.
And some floral note to it.
What would you eat with this?
Like? the top of my head comes shrimp cocktail.
Oh, a good shrimp cocktail.
Yeah.
Or a prawn cocktail, as we would call it.
Prawn cocktail.
Prawn cocktail, darling.
Now you get me thinking about lobster.
Oh, do you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about a Mexican cocktail I had at your firework party.
I can't believe that was your first time.
I've never had one before, ever. Never heard of it. Never had one.
Never forget your first.
It was gorgeous.
It was called a michelada.
I love it. I love it. Tell us what's in it.
Michelada is beer.
Yeah.
And actually, I didn't make that one for you. Our friend Brian made it for you. And he's got a very
specific
recipe, which has like a type of soy sauce.
So it's beer, soy sauce, Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire sauce, Tabasco.
Tabasco.
And one other thing.
Something else, right?
Yeah, and this is a very intricate michelada.
And you salt and chili and lime the rim of the glass.
Yeah.
A lot of ice.
Yeah.
And honestly...
And beer. And Mexican beer.
But honestly, I was thinking, really, do I really want to even try beer with Tabasco? I know, I really don't. Oh my God, it was delicious. It was like a really refreshing... savory Bloody Mary without the tomato. You know, it was like really savory, really refreshing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I could have drunk 10 of them. Luckily, luckily I didn't.
Yeah, well,
there's not
so much alcohol in them because it's actually after all
sort
the ice
very
and
diluted.
The ingredients in the ice. Yeah, it's in the lime juice.
Really, really delicious.
Yeah, in Costa Rica, a michelada is much simpler.
Really?
It's ice.
Yeah.
And about the bottom fifth of the cup is lime juice. Then you pour in beer with a salted rim. And you can or cannot put in a little dash of Tabasco or something.
I want all of that.
But that's basically it. And so
Bloody lovely.
Yeah.
Bloody lovely.
Anyway, this wine, I'm really pleasantly surprised. Even though I'm not into the label, and I never bought it, it's normally €6.50, and even though it was on special today, so that's why I was like, okay, I'll
try it. Yeah,
so I got it.
You should have bought a couple of bottles, I think.
Yeah,
might have been
right. Yeah, definitely.
I like it very much.
Lagares, Legaris, Rueda Verdejo. If you guys haven't noticed, our brains aren't completely on tonight.
Yeah, it's too hot.
It's too hot.
It's just too hot. But before
we're doing the best
we
can, though.
We're trying. But before we go, there's two things I want to mention that we keep mentioning, but they're going to be so much fun. I don't want anyone to miss out on it. 5th of September, I can't even speak. 5th of September in Palmer, Polari meets Bookish. We have Paul Burston, VG Lee, Anna Burt, and myself having a really fun literary event. And it's €10, and you get a free glass of wine. And the wine has been donated by Love Island people, David and Bianca, so thank you very much. So that will be really good fun. And, of course, we've got the lovely Canthy coming for the India pop-up.
Right.
On the 27th and 28th of September.
And the menu will be published about Monday or Tuesday.
I know, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
6-course Indian menu, which is going to be amazing.
Yeah, and Canthy, the love that he puts into the food.
Amazing, right?
You know, apart from his amazing special ingredients.
Yeah,
it's really good.
I love the fact that the spices, so he has to travel with a suitcase in the hold of the plane, even though he only really needs hand luggage, because he brings his knives with him, as any good chef would, and he brings the spices from his grandmother's farm in the Punjab in India.
Yes.
She grows them.
So amazing.
She harvests them. She takes them on the roof, the flat roof of her house. She dries them. She pounds them. She makes them into powder, and then she posts them to Canthy in the UK. So they are really homegrown, organic, amazing.
Grandmother's spices.
Grandma's spices.
Thank you, Canthy's grandmother.
Yeah.
Oh, good news.
I love a bit of good news. Tell me.
I just read this today that the cruise ships in Venice are officially banned.
Thank God.
We can go to Venice and enjoy it.
Yeah.
I went there 2 years ago, my first time.
Right.
with my brother, and we were just bombarded by, you know, you're just trying to walk through Venice, and there are heaps of people holding up these, like, flags so that people know which cruise ship they're on.
Yeah.
And it was horrible.
To be fair, even without the cruise ships, Venice is pretty much like that in summer. You know, I mean, look, as you know, I love Venice. I feel it's somehow my spiritual home. Obviously, it's not because I can't afford it. But I've been there many, many, many times and I absolutely love it. But it is now an empty shell. I mean, it is just a tourist destination.
Right.
The people that live there, really, are very few and far between. They're not really Venetians anymore.
I read that 16% are Venetians.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And mostly it's insurance offices.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Florian's and Harry's Bar are never going to close. St. Mark's Square will always be the drawing room of Europe. It is the most extraordinary place.
Hopefully that it will lighten
up a
little
bit. But I'm
really
glad that the cruise ships, well, A, they were sinking, Venice, because the wake of them in their, you know,
huge.
It is so huge. And they're so vast. They dominate the skyline.
I don't like cruise ships.
No.
I think they're a bad idea in general.
I don't like people who go on cruise ships.
Extremely wasteful.
Yeah.
They, A friend of mine's been on cruise. They all gain weight when they go on because they just eat.
But honestly, it's my idea of hell.
Yeah, it sounds horrible.
Because, one, I'd be frightened of being seasick. And two, I'd be frightened that if you hate the people, you can't get off. You can't call a taxi. You're stuck there. You're stuck with those people for 2 weeks. It's horrible.
I have a video stuck in my mind of that somebody did, and this was like 10 years, 15 years ago maybe, and they took a video of a guy on a cruise ship just dumping bags of trash,
rubbish
into the sea off the back of the cruise ship.
Yeah.
And from then on, I thought, never will I do this because they are so wasteful. They take up so much energy.
And do you know the other thing that I heard? So a friend of mine who was terrified of flying had a bestseller in America. And they had to ship her out on the QE2 because she wouldn't fly. And she had a bit of an affair with the captain. What a surprise. And he let her drive the ship in the night, obviously. And they killed a whale. So whales sleep quite close to the surface.
Oh, God.
And I know, but apparently it happens all the time.
No.
Yeah.
So people...
Don't go on a cruise.
Don't go on cruise ships.
No.
You know what? If you want to visit Mallorca and Venice, just go to the places.
Yeah.
I would love to see them... At least ban half of them here because they come into Palma also, and it's the same thing. They bring
also it's not economically viable. You know, they disgorge 5,000 people. They're there for 4 hours. They buy a coffee, perhaps a postcard,
right?
And that's it.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're bringing in a lot of wealth.
To the
shopkeepers and restaurateurs because they're not.
No.
They're destroying the environment.
Exactly.
It's, not good.
No cruise ships.
Yeah.
And also,
don't go in a carriage. In Palma.
The horse carriage.
Don't, please, I beg you, don't do it.
Yeah, these horses are treated horribly. They've been, horribly treated. And you see pictures of them dehydrated and falling over. And there is a petition to stop them. There's a big movement that people are trying to get rid of them.
Apparently the Queen of Spain tried to intervene because she's a real animal lover and tried to stop it. But apparently it's run by a sort of family cartel in Palma and it's untouchable, which doesn't surprise me.
Not surprising at all.
But what I am surprised at is that there's a bullfight planned in Palma tomorrow. Right.
This is also interesting and controversial. Right. So tomorrow there is a bullfight in Palma. In 2017, Mallorcan law made it illegal made it illegal for bullfighting. They banned it.
So how come it's happening tomorrow?
Because it was taken to Constitutional Court of Spain. Which is similar to the whole Catalonia thing of them trying to become independent. You can't uphold the law because they've the Spanish court has made it unconstitutional. So yeah, there will be a bullfight, and I will not be surprised if we see some protests out there tomorrow.
I hope we do see some protests out there. If I was in Parma, I would be protesting.
Yeah,
I'd have to take an umbrella and some ice with me because otherwise I'd faint. But I just find it extraordinary in this year that we're living in,
yeah,
that this is still somehow acceptable. I am astonished by it.
It's animal abuse.
Yeah, of course it is.
Over culture. I'm sorry.
No, there's no justification for it.
No, not at all. On a good note,
let's leave on a
happy
note.
On a good note, it's the Perseids meteor shower now. It happens every August, and it's such a beautiful thing to have in the night sky here.
Where's a good place to see it?
My house.
What would we actually see?
Shooting stars.
Wow.
Lots and lots of shooting meteors.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So tonight. And tomorrow, maybe?
Well, no, tonight. It's already happening. I've already seen several, but the peak, I think, is the 11th and 12th.
Okay.
So it's in the next week. It is going to be the
wow.
peak. Last year, I had a bed set outside my...
Oh.
And, you know, these hot August nights, you can't sleep. And
yeah.
I remember I went outside for an hour between 2 and 3 in the morning, and I sat there and I counted how many shooting stars
wow.
I saw in 1 hour. It was 48.
No!
Yeah, and
oh
this
my gosh.
Is with me and sleepy-eyed going, I'm
yeah, yeah.
determined to count
yeah.
for an hour to see how many I can see.
I'm going
to
go on the roof tonight.
Yeah, it'd be really cool to go out to like one of the dark beaches where there's
yeah.
no light from anywhere else
oh.
on the island and just watch.
Well, on that note,
happy
shooting stars, everybody.
Happy shooting stars.
And make a wish.
Thank you for listening. We're really excited about next week. We've got
oh,
an amazing
yeah.
interview.
Oh my gosh, we have the incredible best-selling author, Jo Rees. So please tune in because she's fantastic.
All right, stay cool, everybody.
See you soon.
Good night. So loud.